Chapter 25. The Toenail of Ickleborg. Malfoy! Severus stalked into the Slytherin common room and clapped his hand sharply. In my office. Now. The fair-haired boy gave Severus the same sneer he reserved for Potter and his friends.
Well, look at this, lads. It's our head of house, Professor Snape. Role model for purebloods and Slytherins of all ages. Shining example of how to cozy up to muggle-loving...
Out! Severus roared, grabbing Malfoy by the arm and propelling him from the common room. He kept a firm grip on Draco's arm all the way down to his office. He wouldn't put it past him to make a dash for it, even if the little brat had absolutely no inkling of what was in store for him.
No, Draco, I will never serve the Dark Lord again. But that does not mean you have nothing to fear from me.
Why did you turn on him?
Draco surprised him by hissing as soon as they were headed for the dungeons.
How could you?
I stopped serving him before you were born, Snape informed him. In the end, there is no power or honor in serving him, only waste.
Draco blinked. He obviously had not expected an honest answer.
For all the good my forthrightness will do you, child, rightness will do you, child. For all the good any of us can do you.
Whatever else could be said of Severus Snape, he was neither a fool nor an idealist. In all likelihood, there would be no preventing Draco Malfoy from following his father's path into the Dark Lord's inner circle. Snape abhorred waste of talent and of life, but only a fool ran down a road that led nowhere. And Severus Snape was no fool. As much as it rankled him, there was less hope of saving Draco Malfoy than there was of saving Harry Potter. At least the Dark Lord's hold over Potter went no further than the smear of his blood on a green-flamed torch and the magical brand of a curse scar. Draco, Severus knew full well, could not fathom what was in store for him when his father and the Dark Lord called him into their service this year. It would be this year, naturally. It was always this year that they sank their claws in. Draco would not receive the mark until 18, but his service would begin in earnest at 16. How many people would the child have to butcher before he proved himself worthy of the dark mark? No, Draco had no inkling of what was in store for him from the Dark Lord. He could not even imagine what was in store for him from Severus Snape. With that bitter thought, Snape led Draco, one of his house charges, and formerly a personal charge, into his office and the welcoming arms of a very angry werewolf. Draco stopped in his tracks when he saw Lupin.
What's he doing here?
Bad form, Draco. If you know for a fact you're facing a mortal enemy, hex first, ask questions later.
Before Malfoy had a chance to react, Snape was behind him, grabbing him by the shoulders and propelling him toward Lupin.
Silencio!
The defense professor cut off any chance the child had of shouting for help, not that there was anyone to hear him, and the two of them wrestled Draco into a chair.
No, Albus will not approve. I myself do not even approve.
But he did it. Lupin would have gladly taken care of the more unsavory aspects of the situation. Severus knew that, but holding back in this moment would not diminish his responsibility for the result any more than it had when he had been serving the Dark Lord. His choice was made. So it was Severus who conjured the ropes that bound the struggling, outraged teenager, and it was he who went to the locked cupboard containing the most valuable and dangerous potions and brought out a vial of Arita serum. Draco was a very apt potion student, the most promising Severus had had in a long time. He recognized the staff at once. He went berserk, kicking and thrashing against the ropes and nearly knocking over the chair in his panic, until Lupin seized both boy and chair.
You have a choice, Malfoy. You're going to answer our questions no matter what, but either you can sit still for your head of house, or I can hold you still.
Draco fixed wide, horrified eyes on Snape, edging away from the werewolf, and Severus kept his own face expressionless.
You're not going to be harmed, Draco, but Professor Lupin is correct. We will have answers from you. Now don't move.
Lupin kept a tight grip on him, and one look at the werewolf's eyes had Draco frozen in the chair. Snape wouldn't have pegged Lupin for ruthless interrogator, but his behavior at the moment was more than enough to cow the boy.
Child, if this is enough to frighten you, you truly cannot be prepared for what you will face as a servant of the Dark Lord.
Not that Lupin was bluffing, of course. Snape knew he was not. If Dumbledore objected to forcing Veritas serum on a 16-year-old boy, he would object far more to leaving Draco in Lupin's clutches for 5 minutes, given the werewolf's current state of mind. As it was... How much? Lupin asked as Snape approached Draco with the bottle. 3 drops?
1, said Severus.
Will that be enough?
To start with...
Draco promptly clenched his jaws. Snape knelt in front of him.
I'm only asking you this once. Open your mouth.
Of course, the boy shook his head.
Lupin?
The werewolf grabbed Draco's head and slowly pried his mouth open. Draco grunted and struggled, though not as wildly as Potter had that night in the Dark Lord's lair. Snape jerked his mind away from the comparison, and drew a single drop of Veritas serum from the bottle with his wand, slipping it between Draco's teeth. The youth's eyes widened, then clouded a little, although they didn't glaze over the way Barty Crouch's had after receiving a full dose. Severus knew this much would be enough, and honestly could not bring himself to rob Draco of conscious thought. Severus' silencing charm.
Where were you during the attack on Hogsmeade?
Draco hesitated. Having been given the smallest possible dose, he still retained enough of his awareness to understand what was happening, and what he was about to reveal.
The Shrieking Shack,
he said shakily, never taking his eyes off Snape. He was aware enough to feel this final betrayal as well.
Did you know there would be an attack?
Demanded Lupin.
Yes,
he whispered, still staring at Snape. His grey eyes seemed to be pleading for his head of house to put a stop to it. Indeed, the conscience that Severus liked to pretend he didn't have was screaming the same thing. He forced those thoughts away.
Don't look to me for protection, Draco. I cannot help you now. Whatever your father may have said, you are nothing but his pawn in this game. How often are you in contact with your father?
Snape asked him. Draco went rigid, fighting the question for all he was worth, but in the end he choked out,
Whenever he wants my help.
What sort of help?
Passing on messages, or observing people here.
To whom do you pass on messages?
Asked Lupin.
Not mostly, and Crabbe, Goyle, and Pansy, and Millicent sometimes. Just word from their parents.
Snape motioned Lupin away and leaned forward.
Where is the Dark Lord's new stronghold?
The child's face was flushed and sweaty with the effort of fighting the drug, to no avail.
The Fortress of Shadows.
How did he find it?
Draco shrugged, his shoulders shaking.
He just went looking for it. It let him in.
How do your father and the Death Eaters reach it?
I... no...
Give him another drop, said Lupin.
Wait. Draco, answer me now, or I will. How does your father reach the Fortress of Shadows?
Snape stared into his eyes. Tears spilled down his face.
The crypt, on the grounds, behind the summer house.
What crypt? There was no crypt there before,
Snape muttered.
Tell me how to use it.
I don't know.
He could be lying. Lupin might as well have been discussing the weather.
Shut up, Lupin. Tell me, Malfoy, where does the crypt lead?
I don't know, Draco cried. Only that it's the way to the fortress.
Why did he tell you? Have you ever used it?
Draco shook his head.
No. I can't use it. Not unless my father takes me himself.
Not even with the Dark Lord's permission? Snape pressed. The boy cringed away from him in the chair, but Snape kept his hands on Draco's arms. Draco was gasping for breath. They were close to the answer.
Look at me.
Lupin unceremoniously grabbed the sides of Draco's face and forced him to look at Snape.
Who can enter the crypt to the fortress?
Draco tried and failed to clench his jaws shut.
Mark. Mark.
Lupin looked at Severus. Snape pulled back from the boy and rolled up his sleeve.
The Dark Mark? The fortress can be entered by anyone wearing the Dark Mark.
Draco sobbed and nodded.
And anyone they bring with them?
Yes.
Is that crypt the only entry into the fortress for Death Eaters?
The only one my father's told me about.
Severus sighed heavily.
Very well. That's it, then.
I hate you!
Draco burst out.
I hate you! I hate you! You filthy traitor!
A traitor I am, child. The Dark Lord has made me twice a traitor. Once to humanity, and now to you.
Lupin had returned to his normal, mild-mannered self, and was watching them with pity in his eyes. Severus wanted none of it.
Shall I return Malfoy to his common room?
Asked the werewolf.
No, I'll do it. Go. He cannot know you were here. It will rouse their suspicion.
Snape waited until he left, then untied Draco. Gesturing to the small sink, he said quietly,
Wash your face.
Draco stared at him for a moment, then obeyed.
Why did you do that?
Draco muttered.
Why are you doing this? You don't actually think you can harm the Dark Lord there, do you?
I'm not going there to harm him. What was the objective of the attack in Hogsmeade?
The tunnel under Honeydukes.
The Veritas serum was still effective. Draco glared bitterly at him as it forced him to speak.
Wormtail told them about it. They were trying to get into the school.
For what?
I don't know. Something to do with the wards.
And were they after Potter?
No, he had to be at the school. With him sick again, everyone would be in the hospital wing when the attack started.
He wasn't supposed to be in Hogsmeade,
Snape exclaimed.
This wasn't another kidnapping attempt.
Draco snorted.
They don't need to kidnap him again. He won't recover this time.
Ah. So you are involved in this, or at least you know of it and are holding your peace. Tell me, child, is this going to be your first murder?
Aloud, Severus said nothing, but picked up a bottle of potion to counteract the Veritas serum.
Drink this.
Draco narrowed his eyes, but recognized the stuff. After a pause, he swallowed it. Severus watched him and said quietly,
I'm sorry, Draco.
The teenager stared at Snape in disbelief, then let out a bark of bitter laughter.
You are not.
I am. It merely does not prevent me doing what I must do.
Severus aimed his wand, and Draco recoiled, opening his mouth to shout a protest or a countercurse. Too late.
Obliviate.
Draco blinked, his face going blank. Severus informed him curtly,
If I find out you did have anything to do with the attack, you and Nott will have auras to answer to. Now get back to your dormitory.
With a parting smirk, much easier for Severus to face than the frightened, betrayed expression he'd worn only minutes before, Draco departed. Severus waited several minutes until he'd gone, then picked up the Veritas serum to put it away. The bottle shook in his hand. And before he knew what he was doing, he hurled it across the room and watched it shatter against the wall. Lupin was waiting for him in Dumbledore's office. Albus was expressionless as they sat down, and Severus said,
We have information, Headmaster.
About the torch, Severus?
About the Fortress of Shadows. There is a crypt on Lucius Malfoy's estate that contains an access to it.
It can be reached by anyone bearing the dark mark. I believe it is possible also for a bearer of the mark to bring someone who has not. A person without the mark cannot enter alone. The headmaster nodded, his eyes penetrating Snape's. He knows. Of course. Severus knew not to be surprised. The man knew everything. And no, Albus would never have given permission for Draco to receive such treatment at his teacher's hands. Snape met the headmaster's eyes evenly and waited.
Do you think you can find this crypt?
Yes, assuming I can enter Malfoy's grounds undetected. Go on, Albus. Ask me how I came into this information.
He didn't. Severus was astonished. Didn't he realize what they had done to Draco Malfoy, the student under their care? Perhaps he was underestimating it.
Dumbledore looked down at the surface of his desk and sighed softly. He does know. My God, he knows exactly what we did to Draco, but...
When you reach the fortress, Severus, a way must be found for you to destroy the Green Flame Torch and for us to make good your escape again.
You needn't concern yourself with the latter, Headmaster. The former is by far the most important.
I disagree,
said Albus quietly.
I will not sacrifice you needlessly. Do you know what to do once you reach the torch?
I've been working on a potion to effectively neutralize the magical bond. I believe I can complete it quickly.
You'll need someone to back you, said Lupin.
Not you. Anyone but you, Lupin, will never have the detachment for this task. Have you forgotten the full moon is in 2 days?
Harry has less than 2 days, said the werewolf. If we're not back by then, whether or not I've taken Wolfsbane won't matter much.
Good point, he had to admit. All the same, perhaps another member of the Order would serve better.
I'm going, Albus, Lupin said flatly. Send a third person if you must, but I'm going. If destroying the torch is Harry's only chance of surviving, then...
I agree, Severus, said Dumbledore. I will attempt to find a way to draw Voldemort out of the fortress while you enter, but you should not go alone. I would trust no one at your back more than Remus.
Ha, that's a good one. As you wish, Headmaster.
Then we'd better get to work, said Lupin.
Severus nearly snorted. The man was starting to sound like him. Well, if the werewolf was going to worry about business instead of mooning around Potter, Severus wasn't going to discourage it.
Shall I assist you with the potion, Severus?
No.
Yes, said Dumbledore. I think that is an excellent idea. I must contact the Alastor and Nymphadora for a suitable distraction. With luck, we can give you several hours.
He sighed, looking very tired.
Although it remains to be seen how many hours Harry has.
Is he worse?
Lupin asked weakly. Dumbledore nodded.
I am permitting Miss Granger and our young Weasleys to remain in the hospital wing. Minerva has sent for Arthur and Molly. They will want to be here.
My God, Lupin breathed. Is it coming to this?
It is, Remus. We cannot combat Harry's condition so long as the Green Flame Torch connects him to Voldemort.
Dumbledore took a deep breath, as though the words caused him physical pain.
He is dying.
Lupin buried his face in his hands. Don't go soft again on me now, Lupin, if you're planning on coming, Snape thought, and said aloud, If we're going to work on that potion, we should go now. There's not much time. Lupin jumped to his feet and followed Severus out of the headmaster's office. In his private laboratory, Severus had built a second torch in the same design as the first. Having prepared the first one that would bind the Dark Lord to Potter, he knew how the thing worked. It was yet another blood charm, a magical connection binding the two wizards, allowing the Dark Lord to attack the boy's mind and body at will. There had to be a way to break that connection. There was always a way to break such a connection. The torch was a conception of Salazar Slytherin himself, but that didn't render it invulnerable. The blood magic that had protected the Potter boy at his relative's home in Privet Drive had been far more powerful, and the Dark Lord had overcome that. They would have to overcome this. Tabletops were scattered with open tomes and jars of potions ingredients as Severus and Lupin tested mixture after mixture on the second torch. Its flames burned white, unlike the torch in the Dark Lord's possession, and the two wizards grew more and more frustrated as all their efforts failed to put it out.
"What are we missing?"
Lupin said at one point, poring over a dusty old text.
"Surely a binding agent with Harry's blood would spread to corrupt the purity of the torch charms."
"Obviously not, because it isn't working," Snape growled, and brought his fist down on another book. "Right. Forget binding Potter's blood. We've tried every conceivable combination, and the boy doesn't have much blood left to spare." Snape had had to go to the hospital wing himself to obtain a vial of blood from Potter. The very mention of the idea had turned Lupin green. Lupin shoved the huge tome aside and picked up a moldy scroll.
"Maybe, instead of destroying the connection by contaminating Harry's blood on the torch, perhaps we can corrupt the charm by adding someone else's."
"You mean enough other viable connections that the torch is unable to function?" Snape muttered, snatching the scroll from him.
"Yes, confusing it."
"Fine. Hold out your hand." The werewolf didn't flinch as Snape pulled out a vial and cut his arm, collecting a small amount of blood. Into a second vial went some of his own. He frowned at them and set them aside. "The torch is powerful. If we fail, this could conceivably bind us all to the Dark Lord. We need more corruptive agents. Something less pure."
"You're a pureblood. I'm a half. You're thinking..."
Severus jumped to his feet and threw a handful of flue powder into the fireplace. "Hospital wing. Hagrid, you'll need it in my laboratory." The gamekeeper spun into view and clambered from the grate, his face still tear-streaked as Snape had predicted.
"Professors, any luck?"
Lupin went quickly toward him.
"Hagrid, we need you to collect some things for us."
He listed them off to Hagrid, and the half-giant scrambled for the door. "In the meantime," said Snape, "hand me the oil of vitriol. There better not be any chance of that torch being put to use again." By the time Hagrid returned, carrying a bag full of vials, they had prepared a potion of highly acidic agents that would effectively melt the green flame torch beyond all hope of restoration once the magical bond was severed. "Bottle yourself a dose of that, Lupin. We'll each be carrying them in case of a problem. Two chances. Assuming we get anywhere near the bloody thing, that is."
"Your confidence is inspiring, Severus."
"Save it," he snapped. To Hagrid, he demanded, "Well?"
"I got him, Professor."
Hagrid carefully set his bag down.
"Professors Flitwick and McGonagall both said they could help, and this one's mine. This one's from a friend of mine, and Professor Dumbledore gave me these. He said, be sure and use this one."
Among the vials was a tiny crystal globe that appeared much older than the others. Lupin leaned across the table to stare at it.
"Is that what I think it is?"
"Well, considering the green flame torch comes from a concept of Salazar Slytherin's, blood from this source would certainly throw his magic off. Wait a minute, is this from..."
"That's right, Professor. Headmaster said it's worth it, giving it up."
"Mind enlightening me, Severus?"
Snape picked up the globe, holding it at arm's length. It looked almost like a ruby. "Gryffindor."
"I knew Arbus had some of Godric's blood, but where did this come from?"
Firelight winked off the globe's sides. "This is more than merely a relic of Hogwarts history, Lupin," said Severus. "The blood of Godric Gryffindor could be extremely valuable or extremely dangerous in the wrong hands. The headmaster has been guarding it very closely. Until recently, I had no idea of where."
"What did this come from? It looks like some kind of ornament."
"It is certainly disguised as one. Gryffindor's sword was left in the keeping of his successors at Hogwarts as his mark upon the school, not unlike Slytherin's Chamber of Secrets." Dumbledore has been keeping it in the sorting hat, or at least he did until Potter pulled it out. This, Severus held up the globe, was set in the hilt of the sword among the rubies. I doubt anyone who wasn't a headmaster in the past 1,000 years has had any idea what it was.
How do you know, then?
Demanded Hagrid. Severus had to hand it to the half-giant. He wouldn't have thought him so perceptive. Dumbledore told me 3 years ago, after the diary incident. Hagrid whistled appreciatively.
Glad to hear that. If he trusts you that much, I suppose I can trust you with saving Harry.
Severus turned and glared at him, but saw from his face that he wasn't jesting. His eyes were still brimming.
You can't save him, can't you?
For God's sake, man, don't expect miracles out of me. Do I look like Dumbledore? Men wearing the Dark Mark aren't in the business of miracles.
We'll do our best, Hagrid, whispered Lupin.
Snape turned to find another cauldron.
Stop brooding and get me the bicorn horn, Lupin. We're running out of time.
Oh, Professor Snape, one other thing my friend gave me, thought it might be useful.
Hagrid pointed at a little pouch.
You said hair and skin at work, too. What about part of a giant?
Snape paused. A full-blooded giant?
Yeah.
Hagrid pulled out what looked like a large piece of cardboard. Severus and Lupin stared at it.
This is a bit of a relic among giants. Belonged to me mum. There was a giant named Dicklebog, one of the great Gurgs, many hundreds of years ago. That's his toenail. What?
Lupin stifled a laugh. Snape tossed the pouch at him and turned away in disgust.
Keep your bloody toenails, Hagrid, and leave the useful potion's ingredients.
Just trying to help, Hagrid said,
and laughed. Snape ignored the disapproving look Lupin shot him as they began preparing the potion again.
We'll have one chance to get this right.
It seemed like it would work. Almost. But as they drew closer to the point of no return, when the blood of Godric Gryffindor would have to be added, Severus could sense something was wrong.
This isn't going to work. There's not enough power to destroy the connection.
What about animal blood?
We have that. We even have fur from McGonagall.
Snape spat a curse and shook his head. But all these are still connectors to living beings except Gryffindor. All we may succeed in doing is binding ourselves to the Dark Lord while the boy dies.
Lupin flinched. Then should we look for the remains of the no longer living? Hair or bone, perhaps?
The werewolf suggested.
Send Hagrid to raid a cemetery or see what relics Dumbledore might have of the dead.
Yes, that could... A relic. Oh, for the love of...
With a disgusted growl, Severus stalked out of the fireplace again to throw in a handful of flue powder.
Hagrid, get back here and bring that bloody toenail of whatever his name is.
Snape and Lupin each carried 2 vials of potion inside their robes as they headed to the headmaster's office.
Remember, he told Lupin, the blood potion first, then the black.
You don't have to tell me twice, Severus,
Lupin muttered. They walked through the door.
You have the potions?
Asked Albus without preamble.
My God, we are running out of time.
The headmaster appeared to have aged 100 years in the past few hours. Severus knew why.
Potter's condition? Worsening. It's a matter of hours.
Albus sighed heavily, rubbing his temples.
I've spoken with Elastia. He and a squad of aurors are planning a small event which, along with my presence there, should be enough to draw Voldemort out of the fortress for a time. How much time, I cannot say.
We'll manage, said Severus. We'll move as soon as you've gone.
Good. One other thing, Severus. I've been considering how best to keep track of the two of you. Once the link of the torch has been destroyed and the crypt has been used, it may be far more difficult for the two of you to escape.
That's a risk we're prepared to take, said Lupin quietly.
Albus studied them over his spectacles.
All the same, I've thought of an additional way to track you to the fortress. It may even come in handy in pinpointing its location.
Snape and Lupin looked at each other curiously.
Severus, have you that torch you've been using to test your potions?
Severus blinked.
Excellent idea, Albus,
said the portrait of Phineas Nigellus.
Impale the bastard at his own sword.
Whatever his own thoughts on the purity of blood, Nigellus had taken it very hard when one of the Dark Lord's servants had killed his great-great-grandson.
I can get it, Severus said, and headed for the fireplace.
He collected the torch from his laboratory and returned.
I presume you wish to activate it?
With your consent, of course,
said Albus gently, but in a way that reminded Severus that he himself had tied Draco Malfoy to a chair and forced him to swallow Veritas serum only hours ago. And yet...
If he doesn't want to, you can do it on me, said the werewolf.
Don't flatter yourself, Lupin. No need, Snape growled. I'm perfectly willing. You will be at the other end of the spell, Headmaster.
Yes. Are you ready, then?
Let's do it.
Severus produced a small knife from his belt. A spy on the Dark Lord accustomed himself to carrying around a wide variety of implements, and cut his hand, realizing only after he'd done it that the slice across his palm was identical to the one the Dark Lord had given Potter. Albus did the same, and they sealed the charm with their hands upon the torch. This time, the flames were blood-red. Albus met Snape's eyes as they stepped away from the torch, the red light reflected in his spectacles.
If you and Draymond should find yourselves unable to leave the fortress in the same way you arrived, make for the mountain. It is beyond the Shadow's power, and may provide you with some safety until we can reach you. I will be waiting.
He took Severus's hand in his, and extended the other one to Lupin, who took it as well.
Good luck. Be careful. Trust each other.
Take care yourself, Albus, said Lupin quietly. And if anything should happen, you know where to tell Harry.
Of course.
Take care of him.
Yes, yes, Lupin, now shut up and let the man get on without distraction.
Aloud, Snape said only, Good luck, Headmaster.
Thank you, Severus.
Albus handed them a sugar bowl.
This portkey will take you to the summer house of Malfoy Manor. It will activate in precisely 3 minutes, by which time I hope to be engaging Tom in conversation.
Understood.
Farewell, both of you.
With that, Albus threw a handful of flue powder into the fireplace and spun away, leaving Severus and Lupin standing in his office for what seemed like an eternity. Finally, Severus felt the portkey activate, and the two of them were pulled away in a whirl of color and sound.